good afternoon, everyone. Nope, sorry. Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, and it is wet and raining again in Fayetteville. In fact, it doesn't seem like it's ever going to stop being cold and wet. And for all you northerners up there that listen to us, we don't have this cold, wet weather. Okay, we have nice, sunny, warm weather. That's why we live in North Carolina, and we don't live up there where you live in New Hampshire or Sweden. All right, this article that we're looking at this morning was emailed to me from a faithful listener out of Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks, John. And why did millions of Christian women share this article? And I hadn't seen it before, but Joey, you said you've seen it, and David, you said you've seen it as well. The title of the article is 10 Men Christian Women Should Never Marry. 10 Men Christian Women Should Never Marry, and our author is who?
Looks like J. Lee Grady.
Right, Lee Grady. He says he has four daughters. All right, according to this article from Charisma News, this simple 10 list, I guess, this simple list has went viral. 2 million plus downloads from their website alone, and then who knows how many people have seen it on Facebook.
Yeah.
So the question is, why is a list of 10 men Christian women should never marry going viral, Joey?
I guess because, I have to be honest with you, I really don't know. I'm not a woman. So I'm not sure why they clicked on this so much. I think maybe it's because there might be, in their minds, a lack of godly men out there to marry. Maybe their father is not there to help them. So there probably could be several reasons of why they would be attracted to an article like this.
David, would you introduce the article and then we'll get into the 10 points?
He says, my wife and I raised four daughters without shotguns in the house, and three of them are already married. We love our sons-in-law, and it's obvious God handpicked each of them to match our daughters' temperaments and personality. I've always believed God is in the matchmaking business. If he can do it for my daughters, he can do it for you. Today, I have several single female friends who would very much like to find the right guy. Some tell me the pickings are slim at their church, so they have ventured into the world of online dating. Others have thrown up their hands in despair, wondering if there are any decent Christian guys left anywhere. They've begun to wonder if they should lower their standards in order to find a mate. My advice stands, don't settle for less than God's best. Too many Christian women today have ended up with an Ishmael because impatience pushed them into an unhappy marriage. Please take my fatherly advice. You are much better off single than with the wrong guy. And speaking of the wrong guys, here are the top 10 men you should avoid when looking for a husband.
All right, so that's the introduction. Let's just address first the issue of, is God in the business of handpicking husbands and wives?
I've never quite thought that. Like, you get a, like, there's one exact person. If that's what he's saying, I don't know that that's exactly right. There's one exact person out there for you. You know, there's probably...
David, do you think that's what he's saying? Because you're always real good at figuring out what authors are saying. I think I read too much into stuff sometimes.
I don't know that he's necessarily saying that. I mean, I would answer that question with yes and no. I mean, you know, God's,
well, that's really definitive.
Yeah, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, God's sovereign. I think he has a hand in guiding people into your life. But to say God is a matchmaker necessarily up there putting people together, as we always say, God is sovereign, and yet we have responsibility to do what we're supposed to do. So, you know, if we're in a marriage, and or if two people are in a marriage and infidelity occurs in the marriage, well, that obviously wasn't God's will. He's still sovereign, but that was your choice, that person's choice to make that, to commit that sin. So that would be my answer, yes and no. Yeah, God is in our relationships, and if we have successful marriages, I would say that Christ is the center of that relationship. But to say that, you know, that there's one person for you, I don't know that I would go quite that far either. The whole soulmate idea.
Well, yeah, I guess one of the issues I have with that is, Joey, doesn't that kind of set the conditions for going, well, what if I didn't marry the right person?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, you know, okay, you and Candace have your first blowout, and since you believe that God sovereignly picked exactly the right woman and things aren't going very well right now, what's the default thinking at this point?
Yeah, you married the wrong person.
Right, exactly. Because if I'd married the right person, everything would be awesome, and obviously I didn't. And so now what? I need to dump her to go find the right one? Because, I mean, boy, that gets awkward, I think.
Yeah, and how many guys have made that wonderful mistake of going up to the girl the first week and going, God told me I was going to marry you.
Right, that's pretty awkward.
That doesn't always fly.
No.
So let's look at this list of 10 things, and let's see why why this thing went viral. It just seems like you create a list of 10 things, it just shouldn't just explode. I'm not sure I understand why something like this is exploding. Number one, the unbeliever. Write 2 Corinthians 6:14 on a post-it, tack it on your computer at work. It says, and he's reading from the NASB, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness?" This is not an outdated religious rule. It is the word of God for you today. Man, it just seems like that's understood.
Yeah, that, I don't know why we need to have a list to have that one on there. You know, if you are a believer, that should be very clear.
Delineated. But unfortunately, in our experience in our churches, it's not.
Very true.
You know, and girls get desperate. They want to be married. They want to have kids. And so they think, well, you know, I'll win him over. He'll come around in time.
I'll change him.
Yeah. I'll change him. And then Pastor Shetler used to say that what they are now, they always will be, you know. And so it's important for them to realize. I think of all the things on the list, that's probably the most important one.
I'm kind of glad he put it number one. It does lend some legitimacy to it that he says, first of all, let's put this out of the table. Don't marry an unbeliever.
And yet we have in our church single women who will bring a guy to church. And I know the woman, so I'll go up to meet the guy. That's her pastor. And I'll say, "Where you been to church? Where do you go to church?" And I've never seen this guy before, so where do you go to church? Well, and then here it comes. Now, if this guy doesn't have a current church membership, David, why would I think that he's a believer? I mean, why would I make the assumption? He could be.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you were very careful about not being judgmental in your podcast because the guy looks like a scumbag. But there are some things that we can... I mean, apple trees produce apples. I mean, apples are red and yellow. They're not orange and they're not purple. They have some distinctiveness to it. If you haven't been in church in a week, I'm good with that. If it's been 10 years, I'm kind of like wondering what's going on there.
Sure.
And yet somehow they go, "He said he's a believer, so he must be."
Yeah.
It's like you want to shake them and say, "He's probably not a believer."
Yeah.
He doesn't have a present pastor, if he has no clue what church he's ever been in, and he's probably not a believer.
Yeah, it'd be like having, you know, a wild animal. I mean, he's really sweet. He's really a sweet animal. You know, but he's a wild animal. You know, you see what you've got going on here.
Yeah, he's a coyote.
Yeah.
No, but he's a kind coyote.
He's not
no.
A puppy. Yeah.
No, they're not. Right, exactly. All right, number two, Joey.
The liar. If you discover that the man you are dating has lied to you about his past or that he's always covering his tracks to hide his secrets from you, run for the nearest exit. Marriage must be built on a foundation of trust. If you can't be truthful, break up now before he bamboozles you with an even bigger deception.
And you know, unfortunately, we've seen this. Mm-hmm. We've seen this. We had a cat in this church, Joey, that was installing and uninstalling an email program every time he wanted to email with his girlfriend as he was married on his phone. He was installing and uninstalling the program. I mean, now think about what a pain that must have been. Every time you want to email, you would install the app and then you would uninstall it, and then you would install it, and you uninstall it, and then he forgot to uninstall it one time, and the whole thing exploded on. Well, it's frustrating.
And I think what you get with a lot of these, because these are all common sense. You know, we're looking at them going, well, why would you want to be with that guy? And yet we see women with that guy over and over again. You know, we've got to use more common sense. I think the term he uses up there is missionary dating. You're not going to change this guy. If he lies to you now, what makes you think he's not going to lie to you later? If he's abusive now, what makes you think he's going to be abusive later? I think that's the... and if you get back to number one and you marry a real born-again believer, a lot of this stuff goes away. Or at least is, you know, can be addressed in a church perspective.
This woman that I'm thinking of married the guy that she was having sex with in an adulterous relationship. So he was previously married and then met her and started having sex with her out of wedlock. and then divorced the first wife, and then she married him, and then she was surprised when he did it again. You just want to say, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Number three, the Playboy. I wish you could say if you meet a nice guy at church, you can assume he's living in sexual purity, but that's not the case. I've heard horror stories about single guys who serve on the worship team on Sunday but act like Casanovas during the week. If you marry a guy who was sleeping around before your wedding, you can be sure he will be sleeping around after your wedding.
There you go.
The deadbeat, number four.
There are many solid Christian men who experienced marital failure years ago. Since their divorce, they've experienced the Holy Spirit's restoration, and now they want to remarry. Second marriages can be very happy, but if you find out that the man you are dating hasn't been caring for his children from a previous marriage, you have just exposed a fatal flaw. Any man who will not pay for his past mistakes or support children from a previous marriage is not going to treat you responsibly.
That's pretty solid. How about number five, Joey?
The addict. Church-going men who have addictions to alcohol or drugs have learned to hide their problems, but you don't want to wait until your honeymoon to find out that he is a boozer. Never marry a man who refuses to get help for his addiction, insist that he get professional help, and walk away. And don't get into a codependent relationship in which he claims he needs you to stay sober. You can't fix him.
I think that's the real issue. I think women have, at the heart of who they are, because they're mothers by nature, this ability and perception, they can fix things. You know, that they can make this guy what he isn't.
And another thing that ladies have to be careful with is even becoming really close friends with these guys that have these problems, because you get into these, I'm going to help him, and you think, even in just a very platonic sense, I'm just going to help him, I'm going to be his friend, and next thing you know, you're spending lots of time with him, you're counseling, you're studying the Bible, whatever it is you're doing, and next thing you know, you're marrying some guy who's had these issues and they're still not fixed, but you spent so much time with him that you've grown attracted to him and he's grown attracted to you, and now you're in this relationship with someone who is struggling. So you really, you know, ladies, if you know a guy in the church is struggling with something, let one of the pastors, one of the deacons in the church help him. It's not your responsibility to be his mentor and his counselor.
Yeah, I think that's the point that he makes about, you know, he says, I can only stay sober when you're around. Well, if that means you're his savior.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that's going to fail. You know, yeah, that might be a temporary fix, but it's not going to be a permanent thing. It's not going to keep him away from these temptations. And I think Joey's point on women, you need to understand that guys don't think like you do. And when a woman is paying attention to us and spending a lot of time around us, we take that much differently than you do, even if you think it's an innocent friendship. So I'm not saying men and women can't be friends, but it's really hard for men and women to be friends. It really is.
Yeah. What women don't understand is that when that woman starts spending time with you, David, she becomes a potential partner to have sex with. Okay, I mean, that's just the bottom line. We just need to say it. Now, the woman doesn't think that.
No.
She does not realize that this guy soon begins to think, I would like to have sex with her. I mean, every woman is a potential candidate for that outside of daughter and mother. And so, you know, that's why we guard. That's why we guard. That's why we don't spend. That's why we don't counsel. That's why we limit, because of that very thing. That's, we know who we are. And so we guard ourselves from that very thing. And women somehow think that that is a mark of, that's unfortunate that men are that way. Or, you know, that's a sign of weakness, and that men ought to be strong enough to have close personal relationships with females and then not want sex. But what they don't seem to understand is that we're built differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we're genetically built differently, and it's a good thing we are genetically built differently. If men could spend lots of time with women and not desire sex, we might not have children.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably true.
Right. I mean, what would drive the issue?
Right.
Number six, the bum.
Sounds like one you preached on a little bit.
I mean, we're struggling. We are really struggling with this. I have a female friend who realized after she married her boyfriend that he has no plans to find steady work. He had devised a great strategy, stayed home all day and played video games while his professional wife worked and paid all the bills. The Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians, if anyone is not willing to work, he is not to eat either. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. The same rule applies here. If a man is not willing to work, he doesn't deserve to marry. I, you know, I've become a Nazi on video games. Okay, I really have, and it is a colossal failure as a father, and I'm just publicly admitting that right now. If I had to do it over again, Joey, I would have put a safe around video games at a much earlier. Now I'm doing everything I can to combat it. The other day, I almost came unglued in church. I rounded the corner of a pew, and some boys were using our electricity to power their video games because their battery was dead. It took all my self-control not to go over there and just rip the power cord out of the wall of the socket. I would want to say to every parent out there, stop letting your children play video games. I go around at church, and I see the boys playing the video games, and it's not a girl problem. Girls don't play video games.
Right.
As a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I interfere with it. I mess with them. I pull it away from them. I do everything I can to distract them from that. They're not playing basketball, David, because they're playing video games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not running up and down the court. They're not learning to mow the grass. I mean, we're losing it.
Absolutely.
Why do we think that if they play video games all their life at 19, they're going to suddenly desire to stop playing them? Now, sometimes it happens, Joey. Did you play any when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. I played a ton. And I still play a little bit, but it's still very, very minimal. But my mom always would say to me, get off your butt and go outside. Go play. So there was this, all right, you can play them for a little bit, but it's not the only thing that you do. You know, and I didn't have a handheld device either. And now, even with girls, you know, I walk around the church and girls are playing them now on their phones. Because it's just going to become a growing problem, not just among men, but among women, not fulfilling household responsibilities because they're playing Candy Crush, you know, and a video game on the phone. So, yeah, I played them, but it's just been something that, you know, I work really hard not to do too much, and I ask if I can do it, and so that it doesn't become, you know, a point of contention in the marriage. I don't want Hutch playing them all the time, so I'm really careful about if he sees me doing it at all. I try to be careful with it because it is something I enjoy. But it's easily something that if I'm not careful, I could have a whole night gone, 6 hours, just like that, from playing video games.
Yeah, I think the fact that they're on the phones now is a major problem. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just giant. When I was a kid, we had an Atari. You plugged it into the TV, you had the joystick in your hand, you did it for a little while, and then you went and did something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like wherever they're at, they have a video game available to them. So they sit down on a plane. I don't need to have a conversation with somebody. I play my video game. I sit down and we don't talk anymore.
Yeah, it's a major problem.
We play video games. It's giant. How do you get better at doing anything if you don't do it?
Yeah, it seems common sense.
Well, we're struggling.
We're losing it, yeah.
Yeah, and the really only way to fix it is there's two things. There's total abstinence, talking about abstinence with video games. That's funny. But then, really, you have to limit it as a parent. You've got to let, you know, we're real careful about letting Hutch play with our phones. He's not allowed to play with our phone at home because we don't want him thinking that that's an acceptable thing to do all the time. So we just don't, because we want to be able for him to interact and communicate with us. And so you really have got to work hard. It's an easy babysitter for parents. Oh, yeah, I want to read my book or watch my television show or cook or get some work done at home. And so we throw the PlayStation 4 in front of our kid, and now they're taken care of for 3 hours, and I can get done what I need to get done. So it's really a cop-out for parenting.
Well, it will be one of the factors that historians will look back at and see the collapse of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that sounds like old-fashioned and incredibly, like you must be an old geezer to even talk that way and all that. But it's going to be. All right, what's number 7?
The narcissist. I sincerely hope you can find a guy who's handsome, but be careful. If your boyfriend spends 6 hours a day at the gym and regularly posts close-ups of his biceps on Facebook, you have a problem. Don't fall for a self-absorbed guy. He might be cute. A man who is infatuated with his appearance and his own needs will never be able to love you sacrificially like Christ loves the church. The man who is always looking at himself in the mirror will never notice you.
I immediately thought of our guy who does that, posts pictures of himself on Facebook, you know? It's crazy. Number 8, the abuser. Men with abusive tendencies can't control their anger when it boils over. If the guy you are dating has a tendency to fly off the handle either at you or others, don't be tempted to rationalize his behavior as a problem. And if you marry him, you will have to navigate his minefield every day to avoid triggering another outburst. Angry men hurt women verbally and sometimes physically. Find a man who is gentle. Number 9.
The man-child. Call me old-fashioned, but I'm suspicious of a guy who still lives with his parents at age 35. If his mother is still doing his cooking, cleaning, and ironing at that age, you can be sure he's stuck in an emotional time warp. You're asking for trouble if you think he can be a wife, or you can be a wife to a guy who hasn't grown up. Back away, and as a friend, encourage him to find a mentor who can help him mature. So 6 and 9 probably hang out a little bit.
Yeah, the other buddies.
Yeah, you can be sure of that.
They're on Xbox Live together, you know, communicating online while they play Call of Duty.
Why would you want to? Number 10.
I don't know either.
The control freak. Some Christian guys today believe marriage is about male superiority. They may quote scripture and sound super spiritual, but behind the facade of husbandry authority is a deep insecurity and a pride that can morph into spiritual abuse. 1 Peter 3:7 commands husbands to treat their wives as equals. If the man you are dating talks down to you, makes demeaning comments about women, or seems to squelch your spiritual gifts, back away now. He's on a power trip. Women who marry religious control freaks often end up in a nightmare of depression. All right, 10. Those are 10 solid. That was number 10, the control freak. So, having now reviewed the 10, can you give us a better answer, Joey, as to why this thing went viral? I mean, because this is stuff we talk about around here all the time.
Yeah. Well, I just think that there are not, it seems like, very many good men to marry. We have lots of single women in our church. And some of it is because of a lack of these type of men in the church. And I think some of it is also maybe some of them are a little too stuck on a list of 10 things. And these ladies need to realize that you can have a list of 10 things and it still may come out 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years into your marriage that the guy's a loser. He could develop a habit after you get married. I mean, there's all sorts of things that that can happen. So while I think a list like this is good, and I think most of the women in our church, many of them, some of them are thinking, all right, I'm going to stay away from that type of guy and break up with him. You know, even if they do that, they need to realize at some point you're not going to find a perfect mate. You know, you're not going to find someone who is maybe, you know, all 10 of these things all perfectly all the time. You know, they're some of us have different struggles. Some of us tend to be more, you know, relaxed. And so we have a tendency to need to be motivated a little more. Some of us are, you know, a little more type A. And so we need to be held back a little bit. Some of us, you know, that's kind of like the control freak. So there needs to be a balance when the women are looking at these types of lists.
I'm not sure how productive the list is in the sense that it really doesn't address the problem. I mean, is there truth in the list? Sure, but what is it doing? Women are reading this list. Men aren't reading this list. I'm not going to download this. You know, like, I had seen this posted, but I didn't read it. I don't have any interest in men that women, you know, that doesn't concern me. So what's the problem here? Well, the problem is the men, but all this is really doing is kind of feeding the, well, there's no good men out there mentality for the women. I don't, you know, is there some positive here? Yeah, I guess there is, but I don't know that it's addressing the problem. You know, we need to talk to the men about this. We don't need to talk to the women. They already know that these bums are out there. You know, I just don't know how much productive, you know, thinking this is promoting.
I would love to get some ideas from the listening audience as to how to help try to fix this problem. I had a 20-year-old in our congregation come up to me and said he wanted a girlfriend, and I asked him, where are you working at? And he told me about his part-time job. And I said, well, you don't deserve a girlfriend. I mean, if you can't even work a full-time job...
Probably can't afford one on a part-time job anyway.
But, you know, I mean, I said, why would you get a girlfriend? I mean, who wants to be your girlfriend? You have a part-time job. I mean, you know, these guys have time, Joey, to work two jobs. And they work in a part-time job. I mean, even a full-time job today is like 36 hours a week. Okay, which gives you like a gob of time to do all kinds of other things.
Yeah, you could probably go to school and do that just about.
Right. I mean, I don't know who works 36 hours anymore. I mean, I don't know what I would do with all my other time if all I did was 36 hours in a week. You know, and so we do have an issue, and I think, David, you're right. It's not with the women, it's with the guys.
Yeah.
it's with men to say, do I fit any of these? Is this me? Do I have any of these problems?
And if there's even a hint of it, you know, I need to address that right now before I become full-fledged, you know, into this category.
Yeah, and then, of course, Joey's point is well taken with regard to the fact that men can change. And we have seen men grow in our church. We've seen guys change. So, if you're looking for the perfect mate, he's not out there.
Yeah. You need a guy that's willing to work on his shortcomings. Because guess what? We all have shortcomings. And if we have a weakness in one of these areas, we're probably always going to have a proclivity to that weakness in that area. But what are we doing about it? You know, what are we doing to sanctify, to help the Holy Spirit sanctify us? You know, we can't just sit back and hope it's going to change. You know, if I sit on the couch every day and hope to lose weight, it's not going to happen. If I sit in front of the video games and go, I got to stop playing these video games, well, put the stinking controller down and go do something. You know, there's got to be, and he said they can change, but it doesn't just happen. So I think that's the thing about the guy you want to marry. Does he there to please the Lord, or is he there to please himself?
Yeah, and he has a follow-up article, 8 women that guys should marry. So ladies, there's some things that you could be doing too. Let's be honest. You know, one guy said that if you want a 10, you got to be a 10. You know, 10s don't normally marry 5s. You know, and that may sound mean or whatever, but that's the truth of the matter. You have to do some things yourself too to promote yourself where a desirable guy would actually want to spend time with you. You know, brush your teeth and comb your hair. I mean, that kind of thing. Or otherwise, you're going to be and there are lots of some godly women who are still single and will maybe for the rest of their life. And it's not because they wouldn't have been good wives or that they weren't desirable. That was just God's plans for them. But in many cases, some of these gals need to step up and do some things to better themselves, to make themselves more desirable. If that sounds mean, I apologize.
Well, I don't think when you're saying 10, you're not just talking about
No, we're not talking about looks. No, we're talking about
the total package.
Yeah, you know, be able to have a conversation. You know, some of the guys in church say, I go up and talk to these girls, and they don't say anything to me. Well, no guy wants to go and sit across from a girl for an hour at Applebee's and not have a conversation because she just stares at him. Work on developing being able to be a conversationalist. You know, those are things that the ladies have to do. There's all sorts of things. It's not just looks. We're not just talking about, you know, are you beautiful? We're talking about, can you carry a conversation? Are you intelligent? Do you work? Those types of things. Because a guy doesn't want to marry a lazy woman either. You know, if he's working 50, 60 hours a week, he wants to know that when she's at home, that she's going to be getting a few things done. I think that's a fair thing to ask.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned conversation. I was talking to a couple the other day, and they made particular reference to the fact that they were not going to use texting as the means to get to know each other. And that's superb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, texting is not the way to date. You know, you don't date through texting. Online dating is very problematic because online dating creates this primary means whereby we communicate is through a chat box.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you finally get married and then you sit around and you find out we don't have anything to talk about, well, you didn't do it during your dating. Right, and now it becomes awkward and difficult.
Yeah, you can create quite a persona online. You know, there's a lot of boldness that gets, and we see that with some of the comments and emails we get. You know, you get a boldness when you don't have to show your face. You know, there's a totally different mindset to a face-to-face conversation.
Yeah, I always love the comments that we get, David, and I'll wrap it up with this, that, you know, they all those guys at Marine or whatever, and then they won't even give an email address in order to engage. Like, yeah. Oh, wow, you know, we have to give our email addresses. We're public about this, you know. And then you leave this like first name only, and then you rip us to shreds, and then you don't even have the guts to put an email address down so that you can be accountable mm-hmm. for what you say. And that's the world we're living in. Get me behind a keyboard and I become the man.
That's right.
But put me face to face to where I have to open the Bible and defend what I'm saying, and we become totally different people. And so if the guy that you are dating doesn't want to spend time with you talking, don't think that when you get married, it's going to get better.
And if he doesn't want to spend time with your family, I think you brought up this point the other day, that's a big issue too.
It's a giant issue.
It's, you know, if he doesn't want to meet your dad and spend time with your brothers and sisters, drop him, you know, because the rest of your marriage is going to be miserable when it, you know, when that time comes to go out for Christmas and Thanksgiving.
When I showed interest in Pam many years ago, and she communicated that interest to her father up in Detroit, Michigan, outside of Detroit, it was like the second or third weekend later he was on a plane down here to Brian. And it was like, where did he come from? You know, but he's going to find out who's dating his daughter. You know, and he went around asking everyone he could about who I was and what, you know. So this is that fatherly interest in the dating, but that's absent today in many regards. That's utterly absent. And then, you know, it's hard to imagine that you would have to say this on a Christian podcast. But the last thing I would say to ladies is don't give it up. Mm-hmm. Don't give it up. Under any circumstances, don't give it up. You know, that's a major problem right now. Is women are providing for men what they should reserve only for the guy who will marry them. And somehow they think that if they provide it early, it will secure the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. It doesn't secure the relationship. Don't move in with the guy. Don't spread your legs for the guy. Don't let him touch you until he marries you.
I think we mentioned that when we were talking about cohabitation on another podcast. Women view cohabitation as just that next step before marriage, and men view it totally differently. Men view it as an opportunity to, you know, engage in what you were talking about with no accountability.
It's a shorter walk now.
Yeah.
Right. So get chicken, so
you know, what's the old, you know, why would I buy the cow when I get the milk for free?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
And that's what a guy thinks about. And that you may think that sounds ugly, and you may think that's, you know, that's how it is.
Right. You can say you don't like that proverb or whatever, but it is a very true statement.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day.